So we are going to do verse number 21 today. In this text called Kaivalya Upanishad, Upanishad is the highest knowledge of the Vedas, and this is based on the technique of meditation. And the first few verses talk about the need and the technique of meditation, and then what do we meditate upon. So it says, turn your attention inward to the Lord's presence within, and that's the one that is there in the waking dream and deep sleep. That is the one that works through me and does everything through me. And the goal of meditation is to turn your attention to that Lord's presence within, which is called the consciousness or Brahman, and that is me. And we have talked before, how can that consciousness of Brahman, which is all powerful, how can that be me? So we say that the whole universe came from that consciousness. So the effect has to be nothing but the cause. Like if there is mud and from mud you make all the pots, pots are nothing but mud. From gold you make different ornaments, necklace, bangle, ring, and so on. They are all nothing but gold. So similarly, that consciousness or Brahman or God or Father in heaven or the Creator created everything from himself. So we are all nothing but an expression of that consciousness. That's why we say I. But at this moment, I don't know that. And so therefore, I think myself to be Anil or Tony, male or female, young or old, because these are my identification. But in reality, we are all that infinite consciousness, Brahman, the Lord within. And we are expressing through this body, just as mud is one in the entire universe, but expresses through various parts. Red part, green part, yellow part, cup, saucer, they're all nothing but mud in different shape and form. So we are all that consciousness in different shape and form, and that is the goal of meditation. So today we'll do verse number 21, page 75, which will continue this idea. Once the student has realized that I am that consciousness, then he is giving us more details about what does that consciousness do? What does it do? How does it function? How does the Lord within me function? That is explained in this particular verse. So page 75. अपानिपादोहम् अचिन्त्यशक्तिः पश्याम्यचक्षुः सशृणोम्यकर्णः अहं विजानामि विविक्तरूपो न चास्ति वेता मम चित् सदाहम्. सो अपानि पादौ, सो आई एम विदाउट हैंड्स एंड विदाउट लेग्स. सो गॉड और द कॉन्शियसनेस सेज थ्रू दिस इंडिविजुअल दैट आई एम विदाउट हैंड्स और लेग्स. दिस से यू मीन गॉड इज डिसेबल्ड, ही हैज नो हैंड्स और लेग्स. यस. And I am Achintya Shakti. I am of the power that is incomprehensible, which is true. Somebody to create this whole universe and planets and stars has to have tremendous power, and it is power that we cannot understand. Achintya Shakti. But the Lord says, Pashyami Achakshuhu. I see without eyes, and Shrunomi Akarnaha. And I listen without ears. So God says, I have no hands, I have no feet, but I have so much power. I have no eyes, I have no ears, but I see everything, I hear everything. The Lord within us knows everything. Even my thoughts are known to that consciousness. Even before I know it, the consciousness, the Lord within me knows. And then he says, Aham Vijanami. I know everything, but I am Vivikta Rupaha. I am formless. So I know everything, the Lord says, but I am formless. Na chasti veta, but there is nobody who knows me. Knows me means knows the Lord. Nobody knows the Lord, but the Lord knows everything. Why? Because I am pure consciousness, pure awareness. So let us spend some time talking about this. So when he says, I am without hands and legs, you know, we have five organs of action. What are they? Hands, feet, speech, organs of procreation, and organs of excretion. So there are five organs with which I work in the world, with my hands, with my legs, with my speech, with my organs of excretion and procreation. So the consciousness or the Lord has no form. So none of these parts he has. He does not have hands, he does not have legs. Or some places they say all hands are mine, all feet are mine. So what it means is that hands and feet function because of the Lord. But the Lord himself has no form. So to have hands or feet, they should have a form, right? So when there is no form, when he is formless, then all hands are mine, all feet are mine, but I myself don't have hands or feet. That means my hands are moving because of the Lord. My speech is speaking because of the Lord. You are listening because of the Lord, but the Lord himself is not involved. He's just providing the energy, like electricity says, I have no bulbs. Electricity does not have a single bulb, does not own a single bulb, but all bulbs function because of electricity. Electricity is formless. It has no form, it has no shape, it has no appearance, but all bulbs work because of electricity. All fans work because of electricity, air conditioning, heating, cooling, refrigerator, everything works because of electricity, but electricity says, I have none of these. They don't belong to me. I just provide the energy. Or like the petrol in the car, the gasoline in the car. The gasoline says, I don't own the car. I do not have the car, but it is because of my power that the car functions. So the idea here is that what is it that's making me talk, walk, speak? It is the Lord. So anything I do, I have to recognize the Lord's presence. I have to recognize the Lord's grace and be thankful to him. Like at this moment I'm speaking because the Guru has given us this knowledge and the Lord has given me the ability to speak. So everything is working because of the Lord. And then he said it is incomprehensible power. We cannot know how much power is there in the Lord. It is incomprehensible, infinite. All the, not only this universe, which is trillions of miles, but there are 14 lok, there are 14 worlds. There are 7 above, there are 7 heavens. Then there is the earth, and the earth and the universe, that is one world. And there are 7 worlds above this one, and then 6 worlds below us, the Patal, the hells. So there are 14 worlds, 6 below, 1 this universe, and then 7 above. How much power there should be in that creator who could create and sustain? How all these planets are kept in place? How is it that the stars are all kept in place? The earth is rotating around the sun. The water in the bottom of the earth, why doesn't it fall off? You always wonder, right? There's the ocean in the below South Africa. How come it is there? It's not falling. The earth is rotating. It's incomprehensible power.
You know, science is still
phenomenal. Pretty amazing. Yeah, I mean, it's rotating, it's moving, and we don't feel it moving. We are going around the sun, and then everything is held in place. It's incomprehensible power. And pashyami achakshu sronomi akarnaha means I see without eyes and I hear without ears. So which means that I see because of me. The Lord says you are seeing everything. So the idea being that constantly be grateful to the Lord for giving us our ability, the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, touch. So the sense organs that can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. So the body can perceive the objects. The mind can feel the emotions. Why? Because consciousness is within me. The intellect can think the thoughts. So the mind and intellect also function because of the presence of consciousness. So what he's saying is that whatever you see, whatever you think, whatever you feel, you get the ability from me. The choice is ours, whether I think good thoughts or bad thoughts. That's my choice. Depending on my vasanas, on my tendencies, I may be a saint or I may be a sinner, I may be a criminal, but the ability to think comes from me. Even a murderer stabbing another person and killing him to death gets the power from the Lord. If he was not there, he wouldn't have the ability to stab with a knife. Recently, we heard about a student who stabbed another student because she refused his offer to go to the prom. A junior high student, he killed another girl because she didn't want to go to the prom with him. So where did he get the power? From the Lord. So the Lord gives us the power. It is up to us how we use it. But why don't I see him? If he is functioning through me, why don't I see the Lord? Why can't I know him? Why can't I? Why doesn't he? You say he's everywhere. I don't see him in her and him. I don't. So the example they give is a flashlight. A flashlight. Now, suppose the room is completely dark. Suppose the power went out. There was no power and there was, we only had one flashlight. And so we find the flashlight and turn it on, and then people are leaving the hall, you know, because there's no power, so we can't have a talk. And somebody says, you know what, the flashlight, does it, it's very good flashlight. What batteries does it have inside? Does it have Duracell or does it have EverReady? I want to know the batteries because they've been lasting for a long time. We haven't used this battery in 2 years, flashlight in 2 years, still it worked. So is it EverReady or is it Duracell? Let me see. So you open the flashlight and take out the batteries and you put it in front of the light and say, now I want to see whether it's Duracell or EverReady. You cannot, because the one that is powering is the one that's giving light. How can with that you see the one that is giving the power? You cannot. The moment you take it out, it will shut off. The flashlight will shut off. So with the flashlight, you cannot see whether it's Duracell or EverReady. So similarly, the intellect, which is looking outward, cannot see the Lord. If you want to see the Lord, if you want to know the Lord, you want to experience the Lord, you go inward. Just as the flashlight will say, if I want to know the battery, I have to turn my attention inward. And then I will realize whether it is EverReady or Duracell, which means it cannot see outside, it has to go inward. These examples are very limited, you know, but the example help us to understand the truth. But we are all the time looking in the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts for happiness. I want more money, more this, more that, more power. As long as I am looking outward, I will never experience the Lord's presence. That's why the saints and all of them say, give up your chasing, mad chasing after objects. It does not mean that you stop working, but when you're working, work as a servant of the Lord. Remember him all the time. And then when you sit in meditation, quieten your mind as we all do and turn the attention to who is giving me the ability to think. So looking inward is very important, and that is the, and last week I had told a joke in the Sunday class, but some of them are new, so it's worth repeating. So there was this man who was walking along the park, and this suddenly another man comes out and shows him a gun. He says, give me all your money. So this guy gets scared. He says, no, don't shoot me. I am an IRS officer. He says, okay, then give me all my money. So why? Because as long as you're looking outside for happiness in the world, you will not find it. You have to go inward, and it is of incomprehensible power. And it is, I know the Lord knows everything. You know, we say everything is known to the Lord. He knows my thoughts even before they become thoughts. In our Upanishad, they have four levels of thought. And even when I don't know the thought, the Lord knows. So the thought that I'm going to think, what I'm going to speak, he already knows. He knows what is happening in the whole universe. But the Lord is formless. But we say, well, there are so many forms here. You see Krishna and Saraswati and Lakshmi and Vishnu and Ganpati. And then you see Guru as the Lord. Or then you go to the church, you see Jesus or you see Mary. These are all forms of that one consciousness. So one consciousness takes all these forms. So they are not separate. Form leads you to the formless. So when I see Jesus, then I say, okay, this Jesus represents the Father in heaven who is formless. When I go to the Gurudwara, I see the, you know, the Guru. That Guru represents the Lord. In the temple, I see Krishna or Shiva or Mother Goddess. That represents the formless. So that's why I don't limit it. I don't say, oh, Krishna alone is the truth, or Jesus alone is the truth, or Guru alone is the truth. They are all expressions of that one truth. And they are all equally to be worshipped, to be respected. I may have a particular form I love. Maybe I love Jesus or Buddha or Shankaracharya or Guru or Krishna or Saraswati, but they are all expressions. So I am formless. That's why the Lord says, I am formless, but these all forms are me. Just as mud says, I am formless. Mud has no particular form, but all parts are expressions of mud. Gold has no form. Gold, when it comes out, has no form. But out of gold, you can make different forms. So I am formless, but all forms are mine. Not only all gods, but even all humans, all birds, all animals, all plants are my expression. So that's why a true devotee of the Lord worships everybody. Everybody has God in them, and that understanding I must have. So then there is no hatred or jealousy or like or dislike or favor or disfavor. Why? Because I am everywhere. The Lord says, you see me. That's why you go to the park. I go to Hart Park and sit for an hour. So peaceful, because nature just gives you her love. And when you're sitting under a tree and the river is flowing and the sun is shining, it's most beautiful, so peaceful time. So sit in nature and you will see. Or early morning, I always have said, I get up in the morning, and after having done my meditation, I go into the backyard and I close my eyes. And through the years, I try to listen to the various forms. I listen to the birds, and then I listen to a car on the road or the heating on. And I turn my attention to who is looking out through the ears. You say the ears are listening and the mind is deciding, okay, this is a bird, this is a car, this is the heating. But who is that giving energy to the mind? What is enlivening the mind? So turn your attention to the Lord within, who is giving energy to the mind and giving energy to the ears to hear. So that is a beautiful meditation. Just sit quietly for few minutes and just close your eyes and give attention to, and you'll hear 3-4 different birds and different trees. You say, okay, this is a different bird, this is a different sound. And instead of paying attention to the sound, pay attention to who is listening, who is behind the listener. I am listening, but who is the one behind? So turn your head. So that's a very beautiful way of turning your attention. And it says, I know everything, but people cannot know me. The intellect cannot know the Lord. Why? Because the intellect is looking outside. That's why the Upanishad says, Paranchi khani vyatranat svayambhu tasmat paran pasyati nantaratmana. He says the Lord made the sense organs to look outside. So we are always looking happiness outside. We do not look within. As I said, the flashlight cannot know the batteries. So the moment the intellect gets in the way, I want to know God, then you become dead. You become silent. Not dead in the sense you cannot know. All you can do is, when the mind becomes quiet in meditation, the intellect becomes quiet, in that silence, you turn your attention inward to the awareness, to the presence, to the consciousness. And that is my true nature. So in the silence of meditation, you can experience His presence. But you cannot know it as an object, like this chair is an object, or this pointer is an object, this glass. These are all objects I can know. But the subject within, the knower, I cannot know. Knower, I can only experience, I can only become. I cannot know it. That's why, if you cannot know it, then why is this book written? The book is written to tell you that you cannot know it as an object. It is the subject. It is the knower of everything. And it is the knower of my mind and intellect. Also is known by that consciousness. My body, the objects, emotions, thoughts, the perceiver, feeler, thinker, my vasanas, even my tendencies are all known to the consciousness. There's a beautiful story about how the intellect can get in the way of this knowledge. The moment you put your intellect, it obstructs this knowledge. In Jagannath, in eastern India, there is a temple of Lord Krishna. You know, Krishna who is here, shown here. There is a temple of Krishna. And the statue is half complete. It is the only statue anywhere in the world that is half done. It's not finished. The legs are half, the hands are half. It's just, what kind of statue is this? Who would make an incomplete statue of the Lord only half? So the story goes like this, that there was a king who wanted to create this temple, you know, in Jagannath. He said, I want to make a temple of Krishna, because he was a devotee of Krishna. So in the night he was sleeping and he dreamt, and Krishna appeared to him in his dream and said, in the morning when you wake up, you know, Jagannath is close to the ocean, walk to the ocean and you will see a great big log of wood arising from the ocean. Bring it and make my statue out of that. So that's what he heard in his dream. So he said, how can that be, you know? So he told his courtiers. So they said, okay, let's go see. So they walked to the ocean. And as they were standing, a piece of wood emerged from the ocean. And they said, oh, wow, that is true. So they carried it, lifted it, pulled it out of the ocean and took it. And the temple had already been, you know, constructed. They only needed an idol, you know, the Lord's form. So they said, now who's going to build it? So this old carpenter came. He said, I can build this. Don't worry. I know what form the Lord. They said, okay. So he said, on one condition, I want one room. And for 30 days, nobody will come in that room. Only they will send me the food and under the door. But nobody will enter the door. Nobody will come in the room. And in 30 days, I'll finish the statue. That is my condition. Okay, no problem. You know, he's a very good carpenter. He'll do a good job. He said, 30 days, nobody should come in. So the work was going on. Every day they were giving him food through the under the door, sliding in the food. And after 20 days, the king says, you know, this guy has been working. I wonder if he's doing anything or is he sleeping? How far has the progress come? You know, you always want to know. Like when you're building a house, you know, you go and see how much it has been built, how much is in the car, the contractor will show you, you know, this is finished. And I need the further installment of money. So the king says, sending him money and I'm giving him food and every week I'm paying him. I want to know, has he done anything or not? So in the 20th day, he opens the door. The moment he opens the door, that room becomes dark. The lights go off and that man goes away. He says, look, I told you not to come. So the statue is not finished. It was half finished. He said, now you have to install this because the Lord appeared in the dream. So that statue was installed, half finished. Until today it is like that, has never been finished. And the hands are cut, the legs are cut. Because why? Because so the intellect, when it tries to know something, it becomes an obstacle. That's why they say in knowing the truth, the intellect has to become silent. The intellect can only know the objects of the world. To know itself, only I can know myself. I means the consciousness can know itself. Nothing else can know it. That's why God cannot be, like somebody says, if God is everywhere, why don't you show me in a test tube? You know, scientists will say, create God in a test tube. Let me. You cannot, because it is the subject. It is the knower of all of it. The objects cannot know the Lord. Mind and intellect cannot know the Lord. So the books, again, cannot take us to the truth. But they can point that in your silence of your meditation, all of you know the technique of meditation. You have seen the video also? Yes. So when you sit and meditate, in the meditation, when your mind becomes still, you experience the inner silence, the inner peace, the inner bliss. So as you meditate, that's why it is, they say you must meditate every day. It's more important than brushing teeth or taking a bath. Yeah, those are important, but eating the food, it's like food is for the body. Meditation is for the soul. Meditation is for my soul. And as much as I need food for my body, my soul needs meditation. So it should be done regularly every day, at least 20 to 30 minutes. And the more you meditate, the more your mind will become still. The more your mind is still, the more you'll have peace. the more you'll have peace, the easier it will be to know the Lord's presence. Just as there is a bucket, you know, bucket of water. Now, at the bottom of the bucket, somebody tells you there is a gold necklace. But the bucket is shaking, with the water is shaking, and there's all mud. You cannot see the necklace. You might want to feel it, but you can't, because it's a huge bucket. Say it's a huge, barrel of water. So to see it, what you have to do? Let the water stop shaking, and also remove the dirt. As long as the dirt is there in the water, you cannot see the necklace at the bottom. As long as the water is shaking, you cannot see the necklace. But when the water becomes still and the dirt settles down slowly, then you can see the necklace. So similarly, the mind, if it is agitated, if it is very disturbed, then it cannot. So the mind has to become still and the dirt has to be removed. And what is the dirt of the mind? All the negativities, greed, anger, jealousy, hatred. So as I reduce my anger, as I reduce my greed, as I reduce my jealousy, as I reduce my anger, as I reduce my conflicts, and to the extent my mind becomes quiet and I feel the Lord's presence. That's why when we are in the presence of saints or, you know, great devotees of the Lord, you feel a lot of peace in their presence. You know, we have so many Swamijis who come here. When you're sitting in front of them or listening to them, you feel peaceful because they have encountered the Lord within. You and I are still struggling because we have a lot of desires, a lot of jealousy, a lot of negativities. So as I make my mind quiet, make my mind pure, you know, through meditation and through practice, I experience. So this is the essence of this verse. It says, do not look for me outside, look for me within. That's why he says, Moko kaha dunde re bande. You know, there is a song, Na main mandir, na main masjid, na kaabe. I'm not in the temple, I'm not in the church, I'm not in the mosque, I'm not even in Bethlehem or Kailash or Mecca. Where I am? Khoji ho to turati. You will find me in your heart. So if you want to find me, look for me in your heart. You know, I'm not saying that you should not go to the church or temple or mosque. Yeah, that you should go there because Lord is there. But the closest place is in your heart. So why run around and look for him everywhere? Just turn your attention and instantly you will find me. So that is the essence of this verse. It's a very, very powerful verse. The commentary is very good. All of you have this book. So please go home and read it again on your own, because Swamiji has given the very beautiful commentary. So I just try to simplify it a little bit, but a lot of details are given. You have this book also, right? Yeah. So please read it. Any questions or comments? Any questions?
When we were created, all of us.
Yes.
Everybody. Were we like perfect and then we just started doing bad things and now we've dumbed ourselves down to this state and we're trying to get back up again? Is that
no, I think
what happened? Or?
No, what happened is that from plants up to animals, they were not given any ability to think. Mm-hmm. They were not given any discrimination. Like a lion doesn't know that it is wrong to kill a deer. He knows that's his only food. Mm-hmm. So there are no right and wrong as far as animals. Humans were created in the Lord's image, mm-hmm. but were given the ability to think. And what they are given the ability. That's why Cain and Abel, they say the two children of Adam and Eve, right? One killed the other. Didn't Cain kill Abel or Abel kill Cain?
Yeah,
or,
Cain killed Abel.
Cain killed Abel. So even the first two children of Adam and Eve, one killed the other. So the point is that we were created, but why did we take birth? Because of our vasanas, our tendencies. That's why they say Adam and Eve were there, but then they had this desire. And so because of desire, they went, came up, sent to the earth. So vasanas give us birth. So we are actually born imperfect.
Okay.
We are born imperfect
because
we have a lot of tendencies and we have past life of karmas. Mm-hmm. A lot of actions that I have done in my past life. So every one of us is born imperfect. The goal is to reach perfection. Mm-hmm. To become sainthood, from manhood to become sainthood is the goal. And the scriptures help us and our regular practices help us. So with the body, I should serve, do karma yoga. With the mind, I should love God. With the intellect, I should know him. And I should reduce my selfish tendencies. And that is called perfection. A saint has very minimum desires. You know, all he needs is two pairs of clothes. That's it. They wash one and wear one. That's it. They don't have much, you know, possessiveness, greed, jealousy. So as I reduce my negativities and make my mind, my life simpler, to that extent, I know the truth. So we are born imperfect, but our goal is to reach perfection. It's the other way around.
I guess those things will just drop off.
Yes.
You know.
No, with practice though. You have to work at it.
Yeah. You have to work at it or it's not going to drop off.
Right. Otherwise, it'll strengthen.
Right. It'll strengthen if you keep feeding. Yeah.
Keep feeding it. You know, if I have a desire and I keep feeding it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. If he's in ourselves, that consciousness is in ourselves.
Yes.
So why still we are doing wrong things? Man?
Yes, because we were given a choice. See, we have these vasanas. Like an alcoholic, why does he drink? Because he has an alcoholic tendency. Why does a robber rob? Why? Because he has the desire to get what he doesn't own. But a saint or a wise person will share what he has. So whether I'm selfish or unselfish depends on my vasanas, which are from my previous birth. So with this right knowledge, I will... So whether it's Hitler or whether it's Mahatma Gandhi, they both lived at the same time. But look at the difference in their actions because of their vasanas. The life in them is the same in both.
Because whatever they did in the previous life, because of that, they are doing this.
Right, this and then this life, it continues. Like somebody may be born in an alcoholic family. But he says, you know, my mother, father are alcoholics. I am not going to drink because see how they ruined their life. So even though he may have that tendency, but he can control his. So vasanas we have, which we have accumulated from previous births. Suppose now in this life, I had a very strong desire to sing and I don't have a good voice. I want to sing. I take lessons. I still can't sing. But I die with that strong desire that I must be a singer. Then in the next life, I'll be born in the house of singers, where I'll be given a good voice to fulfill my vasana, my tendency. Suppose I was very poor and I tried and tried and I couldn't be rich and I wanted to be rich and I do anything to be rich, but I die, then my next life I'll be born rich.
But that could be your curse then.
It could be your curse too,
yeah,
yes.
Because you want to be, rich is not...
Rich is not the ultimate.
Yeah.
The goal should be I want to know God. You should die with that desire. So even if I don't know God in this life, if I die with that desire, that will continue. So my goal in life should be to know God, not to acquire more power, possessions, wealth, you know, fame, name. These are okay. These will come or go. It doesn't matter. But how evolved I am depends on how less an ego I have, how much I am influenced by Lord, how much is the Lord working through me. That's why you see the saints. You can see, that's why Jesus said, the Father in heaven and I are one. Because he knew that. In the Upanishads, they all say, Aham Brahmasmi. I am that consciousness. That consciousness and I are one. That consciousness and I are not separate. And I am a servant of the Lord. The Lord is working through me. So to the extent you reduce your vasanas. So the vasanas are not only of this birth, but also accumulated more in this birth. You can either accumulate or you can reduce, depending on your karmas.
We are not able to do means we have another life.
Right.
If we see the God means that.
Then you become one with him.
Okay.
You become one. Then God is functioning through you. See, does not mean that he stands in front of you, even though the Puranas say Vishnu appeared or this. The God does not appear. You just understand that divinity is in me and my true nature is divinity. And then you become a saint. Then
basically, my questions may be stupid.
No, it's a very good question.
Intellectual.
No, it's a good question. No, there are no stupid questions. Look, idea is what happens then.
Exactly.
Then what happens is I get total peace. I am total contentment, total peace, total joy, total happiness, total satisfaction. Then the person doesn't need anything else. He says, once you have achieved that, then there is nothing more to be achieved. There is no greater gain. If once you have understood that you are that, that's why look at these saints. They don't care. They don't run after money or house or palace. They are living in a hut. They are very happy. Why? Because I have that. Next week, I'll tell you the story of a saint who, how a saint lives. It's a very, very beautiful story. So I don't have time today. But next week, we'll tell that story about a saint who was living in a hut and what kind of situation he was. It's a very big, beautiful story. So they are same under all circumstances. You and me, we get very affected. Oh, things go well, I'm happy. Things don't go well, I'm unhappy. And somebody says, hi, I'm happy. Somebody says, I hate you, I become unhappy. Somebody says, I love you. I get something, I'm happy. I lose something, I'm unhappy. So I'm all the time happy, unhappy, stressed out. Stress comes because of that, because I don't get what I want. But when I have the highest, it's like a man who has $1 million in the bank. If he loses a penny or he finds a penny, will he be happy or unhappy? No, he has $1 million in the bank. Suppose from his pocket a penny falls out. Will he start crying and start looking? Okay, I didn't have it. You know, or if I happen to find a penny, will he start dancing with joy? No, a penny. So knowing this knowledge is like that $1 million. Then the world's possessions are like pennies for such a person. It's like shells.
I just want to say, you know, a person can be going through life and doing your job and you see your friends and you do your hobbies. But then sometimes these blasts of energy, of negativity, you know, you're not even, you're not negative. You're doing your day, you're happy, and these blasts of, you know, things come, to throw you off balance. And then the trick is to try to get back to
right. Where do the blasts of negativity come from?
Oh, just, it could be a roommate, you know, banging on the door about, you know, being in a bad mood over some little minuscule thing. Or it could be.
And it's really our thoughts about those things.
So, yeah, so
and
I just,
you know, we don't know different until
Just stuff that I, you know, but my thing is just how to, okay, I just got shocked with this thing, you know, but how to get my normalcy back quick instead of this energy, like I can't get it out of me.
Yeah, very good question.
Yeah, and so I'm trying to, sometimes when I turn on like something to watch or music or something to blast the thing that got in me, you know, so I can get back to my normal state.
So I think the way to overcome that is, first of all, to be a witness. You say, okay, my mind at this moment got disturbed because my roommate shouted.
Yeah, just like this.
So watch the mind, number one. And tell yourself, I am not the mind, I am the spirit. I am Brahman, I am consciousness. Mm-hmm. So the mind may get disturbed or not, but let it be. But I am not the mind. So when you dissociate yourself from the mind, let the mind become happy, unhappy, but I am not the mind. Somebody praises me, somebody criticizes me. Somebody says, I love you. Somebody else says, they're saying it to the mind. They're not saying it to me. I am not the mind. I am the owner of the mind. It's like my car. Suppose somebody dents my car or scratches. I'll feel a little bad, but I'm not going to say I am dented or I am scratched. I'll go to the mechanic and have him fix it. I won't become, you know, I'm not dead.
So I'm identifying with something.
With the mind. When you start identifying with the car, if you suppose you have a brand new Porsche and somebody scratches it, oh, I'm so sad. But if it's an old Chevy, if somebody scratches, there were already 20 scratches, one more, it doesn't matter. So the amount you have identification with the car, to that extent, you are affected. So to the extent you identify with the mind, then you will be affected. But if you say, I am the owner of the mind, I am not the mind, let the mind be upset. Okay, I am watching the mind. Okay, mind is upset, yeah, but eventually it will calm down. So become a witness of the mind.
Yeah,
start watching the mind. Do not identify with it.
I'm usually innocent of whatever they're yelling.
Yeah, yeah. So just if you are innocent, then why do you have to worry then? No, let me
say, shocked that they would even think that.
Let them. So that's their problem. It's not my problem. You are not the neighbor. You cannot influence what the neighbor or the roommate or their thing.
Yeah, I just have to be not care about
their, you are only
bad opinion or, you know, kind of that.
You're only responsible for your own actions.
I just get, you know, when these shocks.
Right. But with practice, the more you meditate every morning, that will give you mental strength and peace.
I don't want to react. I don't want my mind understands everything that you're saying, even while this is going on, someone's shocking me. But the body is still disturbed. It's like the mind understands everything. Like, I shouldn't
right.
be acting, you know, but I still...
Because
still
the mind and the body are connected.
Oh.
When the mind is disturbed, the body will be disturbed.
Oh, so
they
yes,
are connected.
Yes.
They are not separate. And so what is happening is I am so identified with the mind that when a mind gets disturbed, it creates a visceral reaction.
Uh-huh.
It's called a visceral reaction. Like somebody suddenly scares you.
Yes, like
and your
freeze.
Blood pressure,
yeah,
your pulse goes up.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
the mind and the body are connected because all the adrenaline is secreted,
right,
all the
right.
hormones. So to the extent you are identified, to that extent you will, for a moment
oh.
you may be disturbed.
A moment.
But a wise person can recover. So they say, how do I know I'm spiritually progressing?
Uh-huh.
If I can overcome these temporary disturbances
oh, just
without
don't make it
disturbed.
Such a big deal, just
right.
try to.
Right.
I guess you have to. You could talk yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to talk yourself
out of it, and just say it's not happening to me. It's not. It's
oh, okay.
happening in the world.
Oh.
There are so many. Like if people are getting murdered in Iraq or Syria every day, are you bothered? No. I mean, it's sad, but you
I know,
don't.
I know.
Unless
you have a relative there.
Right.
If you have a relative
right,
in
yeah,
living
right.
in Syria, then you want to call him and say, look, are you getting killed or not? But or same way. So if there is a murder in Bakersfield, Southeast, you won't worry. But if there's a murder on your street, you
yeah.
worry. You know who got murdered?
Yeah, right, right.
Who's the neighbor? Do I know
yes,
him?
Yeah.
To the extent you identify, to that extent you get disturbed. You know, somebody dies in Africa. It's okay. It's sad he died, but I don't know that person. So I don't start crying or, you know, sending flowers and all. But if my neighbor's mother dies, then I get concerned. I send flowers. So to the extent I identify, to that extent I'm affected.
Okay.
And most I'm affected by my own body, what is happening to my body, because I am the body. If you say I am the body, then you will be affected. If you say I am the spirit, occupying this body, then tomorrow if I have to drop this body, let it, so what? Body is meant to die, nothing is permanent.
Mm-hmm.
The body will eventually die, the mind will be happy, unhappy, the intellect will be fluctuating, but I am none of those. You cannot expect perfect peace in an imperfect world.
Mm-hmm.
That is the main thing. The world is imperfect and I cannot expect perfection.
Yeah, just talk myself out of it, let the body relax, let the mind relax.
And breathe.
Yeah, breathe. Look
just
at it.
Learn to breathe. Just
yeah.
breathe. Just breathe. The moment you get disturbed, just start taking deep breaths. And the moment you breathe, you will find that your mind becomes very
when
quiet.
The breathing, get everything. The breathing
just
aligns.
Deep
that
breathe.
Sh-
yeah.
That should just go away when the breathing is, everything is relaxed.
Take slow, deep breaths
yeah.
and conscious. And that is the best way to quieten the mind. Just breathe.
And I think I learned it from my parent, my mother, really. She reacted like that. You know, so I think... It's in me, and I have to train myself not to.
With
my
practice.
Dad didn't act like that at all. My
right.
dad did, but she did. So.
With practice.
Yeah, so.
With practice and with the right knowledge.
Yeah.
So read this again.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to work on that because I don't want
right.
that affecting me.
Good.
You know, I know it's a problem.
Right. Any other questions? Anything else? Okay. All right, we'll meditate now. In the meditation, try to pay attention to the Lord's presence. We can just turn off this light.
They know how. You guys know how to do it.
The two right switches and the middle one too. Middle one also. Yes, up. That's good. Thank you. If you want to put on the hallway light, it's on the side.
You want to stop?
No, the side one. On the side, yeah. That one. Thank you. Eyes closed, back is erect but not stiff, a soft smile on the lips, meditation is my appointment with God, something I look forward to every day.
I'm sorry. Turn it up.
Consciously relax your body from head to toe. Start from the head and relax each part of the body, the neck, the the shoulders, the arms, the abdomen, the back. Consciously relax each part from the head down to the toes. And once you reach the toes, then slowly move back and move back up to the head, relaxing each part. Every part of my body is completely relaxed. Now turn your attention to the breath. Breathe in deep, and as you breathe out, mentally chant Om, slow and deep. Breathe in, and as you breathe out, chant Om. Keep doing that a few times. My attention is only on the breath and nothing else. Continue to observe your breath. Slow, deep breaths in and out. The mind will wander, it will go into the past or the future. What did I do today, or what will I do after meditation? Just be a witness of the mind. Learn to watch your mind. And bring the mind's attention to the breath and to the chanting of Om. Let the mind not take you for a ride. The mind is still. Inquire, who is it that makes me think? Who is it that makes me speak? Who is it that makes me see, hear, smell, taste, and touch? Who is it that makes me walk and talk? without thinking, just pay attention to the Lord's presence within. With a quiet mind, you will be able to experience the inner peace, the inner silence, the inner energy, the inner bliss. So for the next few minutes, keep your attention on the breath, quieten the mind, and then let the mind see the inner silence, the inner energy. Let the mind become completely still and feel the joy within.
Om.